Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pixels Podcast, your only podcast where you like to listen to video games, news, reviews, and more. I am your co-host, Christian Travis, and with me I have Sophia Wood. How are you doing today, Sophia?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, not much. Just, you know, getting through this weekend, getting a whole bunch of work done, playing some cool video games. What about you?
My granddad got a Switch.
Oh, yeah, really?
Do you want to hear about that? He does not know how to use it. He asked me how to put Tetris on it.
Oh, that's like, so cute. Yes, tell me more.
He has Assassin's Creed. And he was downloading, I think it was Destiny, but I could be completely wrong. It was something like that. And it was taking up his entire space. So he had to buy new memory.
Oh, the poor
thing.
He had
to buy a memory card. I know, he hasn't even played it. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. I feel really bad. I was, like, trying to explain it to him.
And he wasn't getting it.
I don't know how to work a Switch either. I'm just like...
That is so funny. The poor thing.
I think he'll like Assassin's Creed, though. And I told him to get Skyrim. I think he'll like Skyrim. I feel like Skyrim's a classic old person's game. Well, not old person's game, but he'll like it. It's a classic game.
Well, at least, like, he's interested in playing video games. Like, my family doesn't. Yeah. Nobody plays video games in my family. Like, I am the solo video game person.
My granddad's a huge nerd.
Oh, that's so cool.
He paints models in his office. So
that's adorable.
Yeah, I love him.
We love old people.
Well, not that old. Poor guy.
I know, he's young at heart. There you go. Anyway, guys, so today we are going to be, we're going to start how we normally do with our news segment, and then we're probably going to move on to what we've been playing. Let's get this started. So, Sophia,
do you want to go first? How many pieces do you have?
Oh, we're going to do this again. We should probably discuss this before we record every time,
no,
but we
this
always
is part
ask.
Of the fun. You get to hear us fail. It's okay.
Okay, so I have one, I have three, four, five, six, seven, eight. I got eight
Why
pieces.
Why do you have so many? Oh my gosh. Okay, because you go first, because I only have five. Five is a good number to go for.
All right. Give me 1 second. Let me just adjust my setup. Okay, so I'm going to start off with my least exciting news. Well, for me, in my opinion, because I don't really get excited about this. So, Fortnite. A lot happened. A lot.
Please explain to me.
So, first, I want to apologize because last week I was incorrect. Sophia pointed out how they shut off the game and how people weren't able to play it. I don't even remember what I said, but what I said was very wrong. They did shut off the game, if you didn't catch that by now. And I think it was for, like, I think a little over 24, or somewhere between 24 and 48 hours.
Yeah, I think what happened was the black hole swallowed the map, and then it was just gone. Which I think sucks. Especially for people who've paid for it.
Like, yeah.
You can't turn off your product.
Well, that's
for a PR move.
That is the funny thing, though, because, like, the people's reactions, like, people were like, oh my god, what about all my, like, electronic dollars I spent and, like, other silly things? And, like, Fortnite was like, just wait. You'll see. You'll still have it. Don't worry. But, like, they didn't say that because they were still trying to pull their PR move. But that being said, before everything went through and Fortnite Chapter 2 started, basically, they leaked. Everything about it leaked. So people aren't sure where the original sources came from. So people found out it was a new map. There were new assets used, but also there were some old assets used as well. So, like, things and textures that you saw from the old last chapter are there. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that they pulled this whole PR move for a weekend, and everything just got leaked anyway?
Yep. That's exactly what happened.
Well done, Fortnite. You did your best.
it'd be like that. It's a dangerous game they're playing. So, yeah. So, the map's different. Different textures. There's a couple new things. I think their big mode of transportation now is, like, boats, and you could fish now, and yeah, it's not really my cup of tea. I don't like these multi-person shooters like this, so...
Well, I know when I'm being hunted down by 49 other people. It might be 99. I don't actually know how many people they use.
99.
I want to go fishing. That's, yeah, like, my top priority.
Yeah, I never understood that. I know there's a creative mode or something like that in it, but, like, again, just not my cup of tea.
No, I don't think... I don't like working with people.
I will...
get angry and yell at them.
Yes, and I will say this was a pretty good PR move, though, on their end. Like, people were freaking out.
It was trending on Twitter for the entire time.
Exactly. So. And Twitch, people were streaming nothing but a black hole for hours. This was like the buzz was going all around this game. So kudos to them for doing a good job marketing. But
imagine if you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm finally going to do it. I'm going to make a video game streaming, like, channel, and that's how I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna be super creative. I'm gonna be the person to go for Fortnite, and then it's just a black hole, and you're just like,
that would be funny.
There goes my dreams.
Yeah, no, that would be hilarious. I would love that. That would be our luck. Like, that's something we would do.
I was gonna say, what if, like, when we decide to start the podcast, we're like, all right, we're gonna make a podcast just about Fortnite. What's going on in Fortnite? Oh, black hole.
Never mind. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Fortnite podcast. I want to look into it now.
100%. Should I look it up right now?
Yeah, why not?
Fortnite. We're just going to plug someone.
We're not plugging it to many people.
Yep, it's called the Fortnite Podcast. It's a weekly podcast. Oh, it's all, like, official and everything. Episode 93. Wow.
That's crazy. So if you want to listen to all things Fortnite,
the guy's name is Monster. It's Monster and Troy. I'm here for Monster.
Oh, I'm down.
Your dreams. It's just a black hole. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
No, you're fine. That's basically all I wanted to report on that. I really am not into, like, Fortnite type of games or, like, PUBG. I actually played PUBG first, and I was like that one dude that was like, oh, PUBG came out before Fortnite. Like, Fortnite isn't as good as PUBG. And look what happened. Fortnite is the more popular one. And I don't play either anymore. So, we'll see how... You see how that ended.
I don't even know anyone who still plays Fortnite.
You don't?
No. Do you?
I know a couple. Not too many. I think it appeals to the younger audience.
Co-workers' kids does. Like, the 10-year-old.
Yeah, I think
even Priya doesn't play it anymore.
Priya's her little sister. Anybody needs to know. Yeah.
Doesn't everyone know who Priya is?
Yeah, the whole world knows who Priya is. But yeah, so that's all I really wanted to talk about Fortnite. Because I'm not really into that. Sophia, do you want to move on to your next story?
Yeah. Okay, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Can you name one good video game show or movie? Like, one. Just one.
It's an unpopular belief, but I really liked the remake of Tomb Raider. The Tomb Raider movie. Not the Angelina Jolie one, but the one that came out, like, 3 years ago or 2 years ago. It wasn't, like, I wasn't in love with it, but, like, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay, we're this podcast canceled. You can't...
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
You can't say that in public, Chris.
I'm so sorry. Everything's over.
So, League of Legends is coming out with a new TV show called Arcane. I used to actually play League of Legends, not a lot, because it's like easy to fall into, but it's easy to fall out of, and it's kind of hard to, like, it's easy to play and to kind of understand how it works, but I think it's hard to really get into it as a major player. So I can see why people like it, but. Uh-huh. I just personally couldn't, like, I don't know anything about the lore, I don't know anything about the actual story, I don't think it really even has much of a story. I know it has a lot of lore, but I could not tell you a single bit about it. But they're going to make a TV show, which I think is actually a pretty good idea, because I think a lot of video games come with lore that isn't actually used, and it'd be a good idea to kind of explore the lore and backstory through TV shows. And if this mm-hmm. is done well, it could open up like a whole new era, similar to what the comic books are doing now, of making all these TV shows and movies. Maybe video games could join them, and I think that would be really interesting. And I watched the trailer. It looks really good. The animation looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure really on the story because it's really vague.
Yeah.
I know it does focus on characters from the cities of, I'm going to try and say this, Pit Lawyer. The underbelly of, I think it's Zaun, Z-A-U-N. I'm going to assume that's Zaun. Again, I don't really know much about League of Legends. But yeah, I think it looks good. I'm excited. It could be a good way to capture new players. Because I don't think many people play League of Legends anymore, but if they hear a new TV show's coming out, they might be like, oh, I need to revisit that. So what do you think? Are you excited, or you think you might give it a try?
I haven't really ever gotten into League of Legends at all. I found that more of like a PC game in general anyway. I'm never really a PC person. And first off, I like the idea that they're expanding mediums. Like, they are, reaching out to different ways of advertising. Because essentially, this is all just an advertisement to get you to, like, get into their stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. But I would rather video games be making more art than for restaurants to be making video games. When it comes down to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally with you on that. And I'm sure this is going to appeal to a whole bunch of people who are into that game. So, I encourage it. I might even give the TV show a watch. I'm usually not into, like, those type of, I don't want to say a period piece, but, like, you know, like, older, like, dragons and, oh, and fairy, like, I'm
fantasy.
Not, I'm not really into fantasy stuff.
It's more, I think it looks more sci-fi, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think, I mean, well, give it a try.
I'll give it a shot. I will always try something once. But yeah, so, you know, I'm down. I will watch it. I will give it a shot.
Great. Glad we can agree.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Do you want to take over?
Yeah. This one actually I didn't put on my list of news, but it totally popped in my head while we were talking for some reason. So, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order just had a hands-on event for media as a couple days ago.
Oh, did it? How did that go?
So, people are actually really loving it. And these reviews, I'm pretty excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I was, like, ready for it. Like, I was planning on picking it up when it came out. I wasn't too crazy about it before I saw, like, these reviews and stuff, because it's Electronic Arts is, like, you know, developing this.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And everything
we all know what they're like.
Yeah, everything EA develops, I always expect some kind of money gambling system or something in it. Loot boxes, you know, all of that. But during this hands-on, they confirmed every skin and every upgrade you can get in the game will only be available to get through gameplay. There will be no way of purchasing anything.
Wow. That's so new for them.
And here's the thing. It's so sad to say that one little fact made me so excited to play this game. Like, I'm, like, knowing that my game is a full game and I don't have to worry about having to pay a single penny more than 100%. The game,
especially skins and stuff like that, where I feel like that's where a lot of games make their money, which I find isn't really fair when you've spent $60 on a game already. I'm excited for a game where you can actually, especially when it's achievement, they're probably gonna do it through achievements and stuff, right? So that's something to work towards.
Yeah,
I think it'll just keep the player going, right? They're gonna keep on coming back to get those achievements, get those skins. It's gonna be good, I hope. Yeah.
For sure.
They can definitely mess this up. They somehow mess up Anthem, right? I think that was theirs.
Was it theirs? I think Anthem was theirs, yeah.
And they somehow messed that. I'm still mad about that. We can do a whole episode on why I'm mad about Anthem, but let's move on.
So, Sophia, what do you think about this game? What are you excited about? Have you always been into Star Wars?
Yeah. I am really excited for, I think, just a game that properly explores what it's like to be a Jedi, especially after the originals.
Yeah.
Or no, this one becomes before the originals, right?
No, I don't believe so, from what I've seen.
No, yeah, this is after, right? When they're hunted. Like, Jedi being hunted.
You see, I don't know that much about the Star Wars franchise, so I can't really help you. I've seen the movies, but I've seen them out of order, and I've gotten myself confused.
You should just cut this whole thing out.
No,
this is
not
going well.
No.
Okay.
I'm excited about this game.
So, the game takes place where they're being hunted, so that would be before, I mean, but it's before the originals, but it's after the prequels. So I'm excited for a game where you can kind of bridge the gap between them and really explore this world. And I'm also excited for how EA is gonna kind of come back from their many, many mistakes of the past, because they've had quite a few. And each time I hear about EA's new project, it's always, oh, this is going to save them. This is what's going to bring them back. I hope this does. I hope they've learned their lesson. And I'm also just excited for a good game, a good Star Wars game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm excited to be able to use the Force. I saw him doing that in the trailer a lot and in the gameplay. I think there's a lot you can explore with that. I hope it's a lot like just open... I hope it's a smart way of playing where you can, it's not just a point and click.
Oh, from what I've heard from the reviews, basically it's, the combat is great. It works seamless. And it's going to have like a skill tree focused situation where you can obviously unlock different force powers, modifications to your lightsaber, and just skills and overall battle. So I'm really, you know what, in general, it's just, if it sounds good, it looks good, but we can only see how it's implemented and how it's carried out when EA does it, because EA hasn't been the most reliable when they release their games.
I think that is really unfortunate that we have to take everything with EA with a grain of salt, because honestly, if it was any other game platform releasing it, I'd be a lot more excited and willing to believe the rumors. But again, Anthem's fresh in my mind. So I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, Anthem is a mess. I agree with you on that. I played like 5 minutes of it and went, nope, not happening.
Yeah.
All right. You go on to your next story, Sophia.
All right. So this is actually circling back to something I did in the first week. We're going to talk about Rockstar Games.
Okay.
Specifically, Red Dead Redemption 2 is out for PC November 5th.
Oh, awesome.
I know, right? It has special bonuses available for players who pre-purchase through the Rockstar Games launcher starting October 9th.
All right.
I guess onward until you can do it.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption 2 for PC features a range of graphical and technical enhancements for increased immersion, along with new bounty hunting missions, gang hideouts, weapons, and more. I don't want to like read, I have loads of articles and stuff, but I don't really want to read out the articles because that's boring. Pretty much you get a bunch of new stuff, including specialist roles, which I think will be interesting, new experiences, just stuff like that. At first I thought all this extra deals were going to be really good, and I was like, great, like why wouldn't I buy this? And then I checked. Oh, and also pre-purchase gets 2 free games from a set list, which is like, oh my gosh, why shouldn't I pre-order this?
Yeah.
The cheapest rate for this game right now is £54, which is $70. So that's why. A lot. I understand why it is a huge game and that's what they paid for console. I just think if you're just pre-releasing it and it's been out for a while. And also, I don't trust that it will run as smoothly as it does on console, because a PC and a console are very different.
Yes.
Obviously, for people who've, like, really invested in their PC, it shouldn't be an issue. But for people like me who just have my laptop for gaming, I don't see it running well at all.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take the risk for $70.
Yeah, Red Dead is a very high graphically demanding game.
Yeah, and also it kind of worries me that they're giving away so much for pre-purchasing, which makes me kind of like, why do they want so many people to pre-order it?
Well, because they want you to use their new launcher.
No, I understand. I just, I guess because I've seen so many times where pre-ordering has meant buying a terrible game that everyone leaves after a week, but they still made loads of money.
Yeah.
So I want to say, I mean, I just, in the end, there's no reason to pre-order a game anymore because it's not like they're going to run out. You can just get it online at all times.
I feel attacked. I pre-ordered both Pokemon games.
Yeah, I know you would. And that is a slight attack at you. Just yeah. A little bit. It is. Personally, I feel like it's a waste of money. But again, they're giving away a lot for pre-ordering. So if you are a huge Red Dead Redemption fan and you really want it for PC or you haven't given this game a try, I don't know. I guess give it a try. I mean, I would warn you against pre-ordering, but they are giving away a lot. And I think they've shown themselves to be trusted as well. So
good. I'm looking forward to seeing how that works out, though. You know, because you, at the end of the day, more competition in the space of launchers and stuff, I've been thinking about it. It makes sense because Steam has monopolized launching and all of that for the longest. And
to be fair, though, Steam is, I like it. I think it's a good platform.
Of course. Steam is a great...
I think there's a reason why it has such a big hold on the market.
Well, yeah, of course. But you gotta keep in mind if, like, Rockstar has their launcher, Epic Games has their launcher, and Rockstar...
Origins has that launcher.
Origins. Like, if they all have their special deals that compete well against Steam, that will just encourage them to implement better deals on their end, you know?
No, yeah, I think obviously it could get out of control, similar to Netflix and Hulu and all that, where you have to start paying out the nose again for all this new stuff and extra content. So I hope it doesn't go too much where the consumers are kind of a disadvantage. But right now, I think we're in a good time to start looking at different launches, see what offers the best, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like a slippery slope over there. You know, you never know how it's going to turn out. But right now, I welcome it. I'm going to see. We'll see how Rockstar goes. And who knows? Maybe one day Rockstar will have some partnerships with another company and they'll have more games on that platform, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, take it away.
We're actually getting into my favorite topic, which is
Pokemon.
The Pokemon. So. Two things happened this week. The first one that happened earlier this week was that we got a new Pokemon Sword and Shield trailer. And a lot of us expected a little more detail, but we were still happy with the news that was delivered. So people expected to see the evolution forms of the starters, which were only a month out from the game. And, you know, they've been actually doing a really good job keeping information close. Like, not a lot has leaked, and if things leaked, it was only things that were about to be announced by, like, a day or two. So, like, we still don't know what the starter evolutions look like, and we don't know, like, a lot, the third legendary that's supposed to be in here. We don't know the plot of the story. There's a lot still missing, but the information that they're giving us is holding us over, and it's still keeping us excited and interested in it. So, they announced a few different forms. My favorite of the forms is the Gigantamaxed Pikachu. So, Sophia, do you know what Gigantamaxing is?
No.
So, Pokemon...
I barely know what a Pikachu is.
I hate you. So, Pokemon, basically, they're implementing, you know... Do you know what Mega Evolving is?
No.
Wow, you really
just assume
suck.
I don't know anything about Pokemon, okay? Just for this topic, you know, I want everyone else to be able to know what we're talking about. So just for this conversation, let's just pretend I've never played Pokemon before.
Okay, you're full of crap, but okay. So basically, you can Gigantamax and what's the other word? Dynamax. You could Dynamax and Gigantamax. Pokemon. Dynamaxing means the Pokemon grows like humongous, like the size of a stadium, and they can battle, and basically their stats are upped, their moves are upped, and I believe you can only do it once per battle with one Pokemon. And these Pokemon can either Dynamax, or if you have a special Pokemon, they could Gigantamax, which I think I explained to you a little briefly now that I'm thinking about it. I don't know if it was on last episode or like off air, but basically Gigantamaxing has a similar concept. They grow, but also their forms change. So I told you how there was this one dessert Pokemon called Alcremie, who when she Gigantamaxes, she turns into a giant, like 10-layer cake looking Pokemon. And she looks so cool, and it's pretty cool and funny. But the new Pokemon that they announced, most notably, are like Pikachu, now has a new form where basically it looks like the original form in like the original Pokemon game. So Pikachu's like chubbier and just looks a little more chonky. And
great, I'm here for a chonky Pikachu.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that's good. You sound happy.
Yeah, it's just really cute. Like, I'll send you screenshots later. Okay. And then Eevee's now bigger and has a more fluffy, like, you know, neck area. That one's not really that big of a change, but it's cute. And those two are both exclusive to anybody who's played Let's Go Pikachu or Eevee. So depending on what game you have memory for in your system, it'll unlock that Pokemon ability in your new game. So, like, I have both. I can get both. But if you only had Let's Go Pikachu, you had access only to that Pikachu. And then also, there is a Meowth Gigantamax, which is so funny. I love it. Meowth is, like, the longest cat I've ever seen.
And should I look this up? I need to look this up. The
look
joy
it up.
In your voice.
Yeah, type in Gigantamax Meowth and just see what I'm... He looks terrifying but cute at the same time.
What the fuck is this?
I think he's based... I think he's based off of the long cat meme where someone, like, picks up their cat and their whole body's so long, it's hilarious.
I just don't...
I know, boy.
I don't even... Why does he have four... Why... Why does it have antenna?
It's always had that. That's his whiskers.
Why is his whiskers on his head?
I don't know. Why are you asking me questions that his design's been like since the first season of Pokemon?
You're supposed to know about Pokemon, Chris.
All right, I'm sure they didn't explain why his antenna were there.
Should I look up Pikachu?
Oh, yeah, look how chonky he is. Super chonky.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't he cute?
Oh lord, he come in. I love him. What's the other one I need to look up?
Gigantamax Eevee.
Eevee. He looks like he's being slowly swallowed up by his neck hair.
It's just he's more floofy.
Floofy? This is like... It's trying to devour him.
It's so cute. And then there's one more, which is Gigantamax Charizard, which they always have to give Charizard some kind of alternate form every generation for some reason. Don't know why. That being said, I love him, and he is everything.
Oh, I see. He looks like an old man who's done with your shit. That's what he looks like.
Well, Sophia, I'm guessing because you're cursing up a storm that this is no longer a PG channel, and I'm gonna have to mark this episode explicit on social media platforms.
Was I not allowed to do that? You have to give me a daily reminder. Okay.
It's totally okay.
You said I was full of crap 5 seconds ago, so...
Crap isn't a curse word, and can be said on PG-13 television.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, this changes everything. I gotta start writing my PG-13 script.
You're hilarious. But yeah, so basically that's all about the forms. And then media later on that week, I think it was only like 2 days later, started getting their hands on a 2-hour media demo of the game. That being said, it's not really anything crazy that they discovered. It's like your normal intro. You wake up in your house, you go downstairs, you speak to your mom, and then your mom sent you to go see the professor to get your Pokemon.
Is that an everyday scenario in Pokemon world?
Not every day, but like every time you begin the game, that's usually how the setup is.
Okay, I see. And is this professor a license to be giving away animals?
Yes. Yes, Sophia. Why are you asking such a silly question? Of course. Sorry, it's the Pokemon world.
The land of Pokemon. Okay, keep going.
So, a couple differences that people have been pointing out is that your rival, normally when you fight your rival picks whatever Pokemon is weaker to you in recent Pokemon games. I think that was different in the older ones, like the original ones. I think they picked whatever was stronger to you. But normally it would start off the tutorial by having you battle your rival, and you normally destroy your rival. But this time, your rival doesn't just have the starter. He already has one other Pokemon before that. And it is... what is the name of this Pokemon? I forget. It's a sheep Pokemon. Oh, it's going to bother me forever if I don't remember what his name is. But basically...
sorry, I can't help you.
No, yeah, I know. You're useless in this situation.
I could name off all the Pokemon I know. You want to see if that rings a bell?
No, that...
Eevee...
no, it's a new Pokemon. You don't know it. But it's super cute, and I just thought that was interesting. What I've heard from the articles is that the tutorial is a lot less hand-holdy, let's say. Like, yeah. It used to take forever.
Like, it doesn't walk you through it like you're a child.
Yeah, like, one review...
which sometimes people need. Like, I'm one of those people, and if a game does not walk me through it step by step, explain it to me like I'm five... I will have to put down the game because I will become lost.
Yeah. So, like, the example that I've been seeing is that, like, when you battle your rival, obviously there's a type advantage because he takes whatever Pokemon is weaker to yours. Mm-hmm. And normally they try to drill that in every Pokemon game. Like, type advantage. This is what works against this. This one works against that. In one of the games, the last games, Pokemon Sun and Moon, they literally bring you to, like, a Pokemon school where it's just, like, you're trying to learn. Like, it's all a tutorial. It's the longest tutorial. I hate it. But in this one, once you beat your rival, someone walks up to you and goes, hey, like, I see you learn about type, you know about type advantages, huh? And then you just click yes or no. And then
that's good, because that's good for people who've already played it a bunch versus people like me who will say, definitely not, please explain everything to me.
Exactly. So that's a good idea on their end. They also explain there's an open world area in this, not completely. This is like a partially open world game. So you have an area called the Wild Area, and you just wander around. There's Pokemon popping up and spawning all over the place, and they're all fully rendered. You don't have to... it's a combination of them being walking around or you walking into tall grass and running into them. But the thing I found interesting is, like, in other RPGs, you can go into areas that have overleveled Pokemon that you cannot fight. And instead of, like, Pokemon guiding you in areas that you can go to, it's just, you just avoid them, you know? Which...
okay, so what you're saying is this game sounds like it's more geared towards the people who have still, like, lifelong fans instead of new audiences.
No. I'm sure it could appeal to new audiences. It's just, it's turning into the RPG that a lot of people have been wanting, but at the same time, it's still refreshing and new enough for new players to get into. Like,
Sounds like a game that's made for you, Chris.
Yeah, of course. And and like, if someone asked me, like, say that this game comes out and I like the game, if someone asked me, hey, what game should I start with? I'm hoping that I could either tell them, A, the originals that came out in, like, the 90s, or B, this one, because there'd be two different starting points, you know? Because this is the first new, like, I don't want to say redesign or reimagining, but this is the first new stepping off point in the franchise where I believe if someone wanted to get into the game, they wouldn't have a hard time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds positive. It sounds overall positive. I think it might be one of those games where you just have to wait and see, which is, I think, the case of every other game we've said ever.
Yeah.
But I think as someone who's never played Pokemon before, I think this would be a good time. Hopefully, this would be a good time because it's like a new platform, I guess.
Yeah.
It'd be a good time to get new audiences.
So Paradox Interactive had their con the other day, and they came out with a lot of stuff. I think I'm just going to focus on one particular piece of news, because the other things were just like, they're just simple notes. New things are going to come out, but I think the main piece of news is that Crusader Kings 3 is coming out in 2020, which was just announced yesterday. So I pulled a quote from PC Gamer author Fraser Brown. He said, Crusader Kings, released in 2004, was weird. Paradox Development Studio took the elaborate foundations of epic game grand strategy series Europa Universalis and attempted to fuse it with a RPG with mixed results. It was enchanting, but very rough. In 2012, the studio followed it up with one of the most notable strategy games of the last decade, Crusader Kings 2. The studio has spent the last 8 years iterating it on it, but now it's ready for the next step. Thanks for that. Today, Paradox announced Crusader Kings 3. So, have you ever played either of these, like Crusader Kings or the second one?
I have never played a single one of these games.
Well, so Crusader Kings 2, which is free now, by the way.
Yay, free.
Last week. RIP to those who bought it last week, but this week.
Oh, yeah, that must have sucked.
It was made free. And then you control a medieval land, which you just sort of, like, rule over. There's not really an objective. It's not like, do this, help this person, help this person. It's just, you can, you make a ruling family, you forge alliances, you take over other countries. You just kind of try and survive with this country you have. I did download it, and I did try playing it, and it just lost me. I think I need to look up some tutorials. It's not very user-friendly. I even tried to use the tutorial, and it's not very hand-holdy at all, which I need, personally. So, but it did seem fun. I think I might actually put some effort into it and look up tutorials. So, Crusader Kings 3 sounds like it's going to lean more towards an RPG, giving you more freedom to control the game. And it does sound more user-friendly. It sounds like they're looking for more, like a larger audience. They're looking to bring in new players. So, it looks... Crusader Kings 3 looks like it has better graphics because it has like 3D models this time for their characters and their maps, which looks really good. One of the apparently big perks of this game that keeps jumping out the more I read is that you can make them cannibals.
What?
I don't know why this is a major perk, but finally, I guess. Like, yay.
Finally,
like,
wow.
You can eat people. Finally, the cannibal... I wrote, finally, cannibals will be represented in the gaming industry. So, yay. Great.
So, can I ask you something?
Mm, yeah, keep going.
So, can you just do... Because you did just say a lot. Can you just summarize the type of game this is in, like, a few sentences?
Pretty much, you have a map, and you are one of the countries on that map. But instead of playing as that country, you play as the ruling family. So as long as you have land, and as long as that family has a piece of land, you're still on the map. And you're pretty much trying to take over other people's countries while managing your own by bringing in taxes, by managing the people on your court. And it's an RPG in the way that you can kind of control the characters that you are, the family, where you're making your family tree and you have traits. But it's also a strategy game where you have a map and you're just taking over.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, sorry. That sounds interesting. Really fast.
Oh, you're perfectly fine.
Went through Reddit to see players who've played this game before and who were fans, what they wanted to see, because it didn't really, like, Paradox Interactive didn't really explain fully what's new, what's not. It just had a little bit of a trailer and a little bit of gameplay, I think. I saw some screenshots. So they said they wanted better visuals, more traits for your characters, and better tactic depth, which is, I think they just want a strategy that's more realistic. So kind of like, if your land is half blocked off by mountains, you shouldn't be able to send troops through those mountains, right? Because they're, like, you know, just more realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that is what Crusader Kings 3 are doing. That's, like, what I read. They're trying to make it more realistic, more friendly. make it look better overall. It sounds like they're just trying to make a better game, and they know, it sounds like they know what they're doing. So I'm pretty interested in this game, and I'd hope, depending on what I hear in the future, maybe I'll get it and see what it's like, how it differs from Crusader Kings 2. But yeah, I heard a lot of buzz over this, so I wanted to give it a shout.
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy you brought that up. I might actually try to give it a shot, because that sounds kind of interesting. I need more strategy games in my life, because I feel like more recently I've just been doing a lot of shooting, like, adventure games.
Yeah, so, I think me too. I've done a lot of RPGs that haven't really spread out, so I think this would be a good starting point.
Yeah. Awesome. Anything else to add to that?
No, just keep an eye out.
Cool. So we're going to move on to my favorite story of this week, even though I said Pokemon is one of my favorites. So, we all know Google Stadia is coming out next month in November for the people that purchased the Founders Edition. One of the biggest selling points about Google Stadia has been that you've been able to bring your wireless controller to any Google Stadia-enabled device, so computer, TV, cell phone device, any of that, and just start playing. Connect it via Bluetooth and just go for it. People have found in the fine print. What did they find? Google Stadia will only work wirelessly at launch with Google Chromecast or Google Chromecast enabled devices, meaning only televisions or things that are plugged into a Google Chromecast. So if you want to play on your phone or your computer, you must walk around with a controller dongle and plug in your controller and play wired. This is the stupidest thing I have ever heard for a service that you are trying to pitch as a wireless and go anywhere type of service. Why aren't more people talking about this?
I guess, like you said, fine print, right? No one reads the fine print.
Yeah, well, you see, I found out about this because I also listened to another podcast, What's Good Games, with I believe Andrea Renee, and she brought it up, and I was like, literally, I was in the car, I was screaming, I was like, what the hell is this? This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why aren't, because she even said, she's like, why aren't people talking about this? I'm like, no, yeah, why aren't they talking about it, Andrea? This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This is the selling point of this service, and they aren't fulfilling it. And apparently, like, they're gonna fix it and add that ability into the service at some point, but that's just, like, why?
Yeah,
why release it?
Yeah, why not? Why release it when you can't release the full service?
Exactly.
And I feel like that's what we've seen in video game companies a lot recently, with especially games, but I guess with this too now, where they're releasing an unfinished product and hoping they can just get as many players as they can into it before they have to update it.
Yeah, it's honestly, I am, like, appalled. I didn't plan on playing Stadia immediately. I was going to give it a shot. And I think they're releasing it fully in December for the people who didn't purchase the Founders Edition. So I was just going to give it a shot then and buy, like, a game that I know if once I complete, I'm not really going to play again. But yeah, this is, like, bad. Like, really bad. Like, literally, this article I have pulled up says, when Google first showed off the controller in March, the company touted how you can seamlessly switch from your gaming on your TV to your laptop or phone while using the same exact controller without having to pair it to each device each time. That's the exact opposite now. I have to plug in a controller to any device I want to use and wait for it to pair and then start using it. That's a step backwards. Yeah.
That is a step backwards. I agree. I mean, I can't even say much because I don't know much about this type of stuff.
Yeah.
But that does sound like I don't want it anymore. Like, I think the beginning of your presentation, I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. And now I'm like, never mind. I guess that's a dream for another day, another company.
Yeah. And the thing is, the thing about Google Stadia is that people are worried because Google has a long history of having services that they just eventually shut down if they don't do as well as they want. Like, even Google tweeted, like, a picture earlier in the season and was like, hey, we made a Google graveyard, and it was literally just like tombstones with pictures of Google services, like Google Plus on tombstones, and like they were poking fun at their own failures.
Well, that's the issue, right? You shouldn't be bragging about that, about failed projects. And I think the biggest thing a company can do is provide a product that you know won't, I guess, shut down on you, right? You want a long-lasting product you can count on, and if they can't provide that, what are they providing?
Yeah, like, I'm all for the poking fun at, like, past failures, but when you have this new service that's coming out that people are already, like, sketchy about, I feel like you shouldn't really bring that up.
That is marketing 101. I don't understand why a company would do that, especially a company as big as this one.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm still not too excited about Stadia. For the games that they're bringing over are all out on other platforms so far. I haven't really seen any big exclusives that I'm interested in. So, you know, I just hope that this doesn't fail for the people that are interested and invest in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we'll, as always, I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
Only time will tell.
Yep. All right, Sophia, your turn.
So, are you ready to get banned in China?
I hope so. Jesus Christ, I don't want to go there. I'm just kidding.
So, how much do you know about this Blizzard stuff going on right now?
-7.
Fantastic. So pretty much, I'm just going to start from the beginning. I played World of Warcraft as a kid, just like, I feel like every Blizzard fan out there that was, I know, you know, you have to start somewhere, and I think World of Warcraft was a starting point for video games for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
that was like the first MMO, right?
Yeah, and it was good. I really enjoyed it. I think looking back, it obviously, it isn't, I mean, I guess it is a masterpiece. I wouldn't say it's my top 10 favorite games, but it's got a place close to my heart as a starting point for video games. I think it's what got me into it, especially RPGs. And I feel like, just like every other Blizzard fan out there, I've been disappointed a lot recently by Blizzard. At E3 with the whole Diablo phone game thing, where they literally got booed at E3, and it was hilarious. But I've kind of given up on them, I'm going to be honest. So now this has happened.
Okay.
This is from a Eurogamer article. 2 weeks ago, Chung Ningwai, he's called Blix Chung.
I think I know what happened here. Continue. I think I remember hearing. Go.
So he's a pro player for Blizzard from Hong Kong. And he was taking part in the official Grandmaster series. And he made a statement in support of the city's pro-democracy protesters during a post-match interview. He was swiftly banned from the competition for a year and lost all his prize money, and the two interviewers were also banned.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes. And then Blizzard just went totally silent about it. Didn't say anything for weeks.
When they did
comment on Friday, they relented a little. The ban changed to 6 months instead of a year, and he got his prize money back.
Okay, good.
But it doubled down on the position that his statement breached competition rules and the casters had failed to stop him, and insisted that our relationship in China had no influence in our decision. Which is like, why are you lying? Why are you lying?
Yeah.
We could just make an entire podcast about Blizzard's history with China. Not even an episode, just an entire podcast. Especially through World of Warcraft. They have big ties in China. It is a big foothold for them. But this is, I think, going over the top. This is a company putting money before values, especially with this whole, I don't want to go into China because you could just find so much about it, and it's a huge complicated issue, and I don't want to run through it in 5 minutes. But some fans are just, everyone's disappointed in them, and this is just ridiculous. I don't think companies should be in politics. I don't think they should be, especially banning people because they don't agree with their political views. And I have had a lot of kind of people in sympathy of Blizzard saying, well, they can't lose all that money, they've got such a big foothold, they can't be banned in China because if they do, other people will take the place. But I think in the end, you have to consider your fans who are suffering because of this. Some people are trying to turn Overwatch characters into a Hong Kong protest symbol in hopes that Overwatch will just be banned, which is a great idea. I've also seen Mickey Mouse floating around, so hoping Disney Why will Mickey be banned. Mouse? So that Disney will be banned.
Oh, I guess.
They're just like, okay, we're going to use this and to take down some of the worst companies, which is like, good luck.
Yeah, but, right.
I just think we should give our sympathy to this guy who obviously and he said in an interview, he purposely said it. He knew what he was putting on the line, but his statement was another form of participation of the protest. So he knew exactly what he was doing, and he did take the risk, but he said it was his duty to do so. And I think that's great that someone who obviously has such a big say in stuff for this could use his platform. And it's just really unfortunate that Blizzard are taking their stand.
Do you want to hear the best part about this that you didn't even mention that I'm not even sure if you know?
Was it that Congress wrote to Blizzard?
No.
Oh, because they did.
With Nintendo.
Oh, please. I didn't even know anything about Nintendo.
So you know how Nintendo released Overwatch on the Switch?
Yeah.
So basically Nintendo had a few third-party games come out at the same time, and they've been pushing all the games at the same time. But since this problem with Blizzard started, they haven't been pushing Blizzard as much, and people are calling and basically they're contacting Nintendo and going, hey, I don't like the situation with Blizzard, I want a refund on my purchase of Overwatch. And Nintendo's just giving them back their money and not even advertising for Blizzard as heavily as they have
to. You know what, that's fantastic companies. Because if Blizzard is only going to listen to money, maybe they'll listen to Nintendo.
Yeah, because if they're not making money off, because they're giving them refunds and Blizzard isn't getting the money from the revenue. So basically, they're screwed there. They're losing money on all ends. And not to mention, a few weeks prior, Blizzard made some comment about how they would love one of their Overwatch characters to be in Smash Bros. And that's probably not going to happen now.
I hope it doesn't, because if this is the only way companies are going to listen, I hope they're listening now.
Yeah, it's really a shame, but, you know, political stuff always can make or break a company.
So, you got anything lighter to tell us?
let's see. I do. So, the Analog, the company, released something called the Analog Pocket Pro. And by release, I don't mean release, I mean they announced it's not being released until a while from now, I think 2020. So, basically, this one creation looks a lot like a Game Boy, and it can play Game Boy games, Game Boy Color games, Game Boy Advance games, Sega Game Gear games, and a lot more that I'm not familiar with because those other two systems I haven't played with in a while. Basically, this is like an expensive, specked out Game Boy.
It's $200.
Yeah,
and I think when we were talking, I'm going to say like what when we were talking about it before, I was really excited until I saw the price. I was like, I'm not paying $200 for a Game Boy to play Tetris.
Well, let me point this out. Okay. This the specs for it is it's a 3.5 665 ppi LCD display with a 1600 by 1440 resolution and a built-in backlight. So, if you're looking at this, this screen is already better than the iPhone 11. Which is pretty good, because they run an LCD display, iPhone 11. The only thing I would say is the screen is smaller, but the pixels per square inch are higher, and the resolution is 1440p, and the iPhone 11 is like a 770p, like half of that.
Okay. But can you look me in the eye and tell me it's worth $200?
it's worth $200. No, I'm just kidding. It's not worth $200.
No.
I would pay, you know what? I would pay like $130 for it because I am a big fan of my old handheld games. I have just a whole basket full of my old handheld games. And I also did, you probably can't see it on my, on our Skype, Sophia, but I also did, I want to say did like a home refurbishment of my original Game Boy Color. So like I bought new buttons and I bought a new back casing for the batteries. I opened it up, I cleaned it because I wanted to experience those games again. And hearing this, if it was a little cheaper, I probably would purchase it.
Well, that's the thing, right? I think it's made for people who like you who have those games and who want that experience again. But I don't. I don't have those games. And I don't even know if I have that much of an attachment. Like, if someone said, I have a Game Boy here for $30 and here's some games, I'd be like, great, fantastic, here you go. But $200 plus having to buy those games again, having to, you know what I mean? That's just way too much money for something like this.
I think it's more, and especially because they mentioned this is going to be a limited run. They're not going to be selling this forever. So I think it's really just for the collector. It's just, you have to have, like you said, you have to have access to these games. And if you don't have that past history with these video games, you're not going to appeal for it. It's not going to appeal to you. So people might spring for the game. Also, sorry, I want to interrupt because I totally forgot to mention this. There's also a built-in synthesizer called the Nanoloop, which means you could literally make your own 8-bit music off of it, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I was, I mean, I do edit music, but mostly vocals and stuff like that, so it doesn't appeal to me, but I could totally see someone being like, whoa, I get to play all my old retro games, listen to a game, and then pop out of it real quick and synthesize something that inspires me by it. Like, I could see that.
I can see that too. And you know what? I would love something like that, but not for $200. And that's at least $200, right? Because you think you're going to have to buy more games, more this, more that.
Yeah, so it really just depends on the type of fan you are. It's going to be that $200 limited run. I think it does Neo Geo games as well. I'm trying to see if there's any other things that I should point out about this before. It charges via USB-C. Oh, it has an SD card slot, and they've also stressed that it cannot run ROMs, but again, take that with a grain of salt because their past products have been hacked to run ROMs. So I'm sure it could be capable of doing that as well. But yeah. Yeah, anything else you wanted to talk about, Sophia?
I have a great closer.
For you?
Yeah, like mine would be a good way to close the episode. So if you want to keep going, how many more pieces do you have?
I have 2 heavy pieces, 1 piece that I just wanted to bring up and talk about literally for 5 seconds.
Okay, do you want to like run through those and I'll end it?
Yeah. So the next one, I'm going to kind of speed this one up because we want to talk about what games we've been playing. So Project X Cloud has entered the beta phase, so people have been getting their hands on it. I'm going to literally read this pros and cons list from Tech Radar just to sum it up, because I haven't gotten to play it myself. Unfortunately, I couldn't sign up for the beta because the website wasn't working for 3 days whenever I tried to sign up. So, you know, that's solid. So, from Tech Radar, who published this? Vic Hood published this, and he said in his, it says early verdict. Project xCloud seems promising with a smooth imaging and the ability to run at a lower latency than its competitors, but we're concerned whether this stability will hold up when servers are supporting more than a room full of devices. And then the positives. Can run from 7 to 10 megabytes smoothly. Mostly smooth imaging. Stream quality is great. Gaming progress carries from PC and console, runs AAA games, and control input is solid. The cons. Currently only on Android and has been an Currently only Android has been announced, struggling to struggles with struggles with faster paced online titles and connection occasionally drops out. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, that was what I was worried about. I think it's very specifically I was worried about games that needed more kind of power struggling and the connection dropping, which sounds exactly like what's happening.
Well, I think this is, it depends on how much it's going to cost when it comes out, because I think this would be a cool, like, situation if, like, say a new game comes out and you're really into it and you have to go travel somewhere for work, or you have to go away somewhere, or you're going on the bus or whatever. Like, you just really don't want to drop that game. It'd be really cool to be able to buy, like, a $5, like, clip for your controller to put your phone on and be able to continue.
You think it's going to be $5?
Well, I'm sure Microsoft will sell it for more, but I'm sure you'll be able to find something on eBay or like Amazon for $5.
No.
Like, just a clip.
I'm going to politely disagree with you.
Well, I'm going to not disagree with me, because I think I'm right. Anyway, I think it'd be cool that you can connect it and play it on the go while you're in the car if you're playing like a story-based game. But the moment you want to play like an MMO, or if you want to play like one of those big games like Fortnite or something, it might be a little grainy, which I would then just suggest for you to play on your cell phone. Fortnite and stuff like that. But yeah, I just wanted to share that services still don't have an announcement for the official release date, which hopefully that'll be coming soon, because Microsoft hasn't released a lot of information about a lot of their things. Like, Sony's at least been trickling out information on PS5s. Xbox been holding that really close to them. So hopefully when they announce more information about Xbox, we'll get more information about Project xCloud. And then after that, all I really wanted to talk about was this, was two little things. Ring Fit Adventure is fun. I haven't played it yet. I'm going to play it at some point. Reviews from Kotaku and IGN both have been giving it good reviews overall. And the only complaint people have had is that the RPG world, I didn't even explain this to you, Sophia. So, Ring Fit Adventure is basically the new Wii Fit, except there's no balance board. You get what's called a Pilates ring. I don't know if you want to look it up. Pilates ring and a leg attachment that you can put both of your Joy-Con in. And
I mean,
you do different exercises to defeat different enemies in the game.
That actually sounds pretty cool. When you said something like Wii Fit, I was like, oh great, we're gonna be playing tennis.
No.
Or something.
It's an RPG.
If it's an RPG, that actually sounds like a lot of fun, and that could be interesting.
So they've been testing it out, and everybody's saying the RPG aspect is fun. It's not as fleshed out, but it's forgiven because this game is meant to be a game for physical activity first, then an RPG, you know?
Mm-hmm.
From what I'm hearing, a lot of people are, like, breaking a sweat playing this. They're playing it for, like, the normal time they would go to the gym and do cardio. So, 30 minutes to an hour. And I believe Jonathan Dornbush reviewed this on IGN, and he said that he's, like, 18 hours in, and he still doesn't think that he still thinks he's almost halfway there with the game. So, there's a lot of content. Yeah, so there's a lot of content. Yeah. And
you know
I
what?
Feel like
that
if you're...
actually sounds... Like, I'd buy that. Like, that actually sounds really interesting.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, it's going to be $80, but think about it, but think about it this way. You're getting a Pilates ring, and you're getting the attachments, and you're spending, for someone who doesn't want to spend money at the gym just to do only cardio, $80 is, like, the price of an expensive gym anyway, per month. So you're spending this one price, and then you got this game to play for over 20 hours, and it's supposed to be replayable because you can adjust the difficulty depending on how, like, in shape you're getting. So, and it will change, you know, the way the game plays. So,
I have a question.
What?
Sorry. Do you think that they're gonna release new games to go with this? Like, maybe once... Everyone's kind of finished with that first game. Because, I mean, the Pilates ring can be reused, right? If they're going to release new content or new games.
You know, I actually don't know, and I don't think media has asked them about that, which would be a good thing. I could probably reach out to Nintendo and get them get a response on that and come back next week with it if they respond.
That would be interesting.
Because I could totally see them using that Pilates ring in different ways. Like, even at, like, I'm not saying to do this only, but like, say this did successfully and they're like, hey, like, people are really into the fitness craze again. Let's bring back We Fit, but incorporate the Pilates ring. I could see that work out too, you know?
Exactly, because I think I didn't really like We Fit, but a lot of people did. And that would be even more RPGs, like more fleshed out, better
exactly.
RPGs, maybe.
Exactly. Well, yeah, again, this is supposed to be exercise first, RPG second. Do you want to hear the plot of this?
Yes, I do.
It's so
cheesy.
Am
I allowed to make fun of it?
Yeah. It's
great.
It's opinionated. And it may be so stupid that it makes you want to play, you know? So
yeah.
So you're a person that runs into the character Ring, which is his name. And
okay.
is the Pilates
I'll try
Ring.
To keep playing. Okay.
He's the Pilates. So he accidentally releases his arch enemy or like his friend that he had to lock up called Dragoon, which is a bodybuilding dragon. And he's
okay.
And you have to basically stop Dragoon from what IGN says isn't very clear if he either A, wants everyone to be bodybuilding slaves, or if he wants everyone to be fat so he looks better. It didn't really clarify the game. So
okay.
But basically he's gonna do something bad and you and Ring have to stop him, and you're going world to world and you fight Dragoon or Drago or whatever his name is, and once you're going back and forth, once you get to him, you'll beat him, and then he'll, like, it's kind of like that Mario style where he moves on to another world and you have to get through the world and beat him again. But yeah, I think it's silly, but in a charming way. And if I'm literally, this might be the thing that I might have to do to trick myself into exercising more. Cause like, I go to the gym 6 days a week, but I don't want to do cardio ever. Like, I could see myself going to the gym, doing my weights, and then going home and playing Ring Fit Adventure for a little bit and getting that cardio in, you know?
Yeah. And as someone who I like cardio more than anything else, really. Like, I like to run and walk and stuff, but I don't do it as often as I should. I think if I got it, I mean, I'd have to get a Switch first.
Yeah.
But if I got it, this would be a good way to kind of trick myself into exercising.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think this appeals to a specific audience, and like, I believe Casey DeFreitas from IGN as well, she talks about how she goes to the gym all the time, and she was super excited to play this. So I know there's an audience there that wants to play this for sure, especially because RPGs are just fun. And even if it's a silly RPG that's not too fleshed out, if it's like exercise in the skin of an RPG, why not, you know?
I think when it comes to exercise, you need to see your progress. And I think having a game that literally has bosses you can beat and ways you can track your progress, even if it's just, oh, I'm at this world, now I'm at this world, that's just what people need to see, and that's what people need to kind of get them up and doing it.
Yeah, and you can also build, like, I believe you could build, like, smoothies and soups or something like that to give yourself buffs when fighting, which is cute, and each colored one
awful.
Does them.
Not awful, but this just keeps getting worse.
It's just cheesy. It's cute. I like
it. No, it
I
is,
would definitely
yeah.
give it a shot. But yeah, it's overall, that's all I wanted to bring up. It seems like it's a good concept. Nintendo seemed to get a good, like, response from people when they announced it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to giving it a shot. The holiday season's coming in. I might, when I get a little extra money, pick it up. Just, and then during the holiday season, you know, when it's snowing and I don't want to leave the house to go to the gym, I might just stay home and play Ring Fit Adventure and then take a shower and snuggle in bed, you know?
I mean, that sounds amazing. Can I skip the exercise and just snuggle in bed?
Yeah, that's exactly what you could do. So, yeah. And then my last piece of news you actually shared with me, which I thought was funny. Apparently, a Reddit user came across a Nintendo Switch Lite that had 2 Y buttons on it for some reason.
Yes, I saw it and I was like, you know who in my life would love this? Chris.
And you were correct. It's just so funny and so silly. And I just think it's funny. So another a YouTuber named Spawn, like his channel's name is Spawnwave. He actually worked in like not the gaming industry, but he used to fix game systems and, you know, like he worked at stores that repaired stuff. And he, when he saw the story, he looked into if it was even possible to purchase the parts for a Nintendo Switch Lite to see if someone could fix it to look like that.
I mean, why?
He did not find any places that you could buy the buttons. So he does think it's possible that it's real, that it was purchased like that. But he did say it probably isn't worth anything. Like, it's probably not worth a lot more than a normal Nintendo Switch Lite. It's just going to be fun.
No, I don't
something
see
for
even
fun.
Collectors giving a crap.
Yeah. So that's really it, Sophia. I really don't have anything else other than that. And I know you wanted to finish us off with something.
Yes. So I found an article about Black Friday deals, so I guess October isn't too early to be talking about that special holiday.
Oh yeah,
Black Friday.
Tell me all about it.
And then the dinner before that, I guess. So this is just speculation, but I figured I'd get everyone's hopes up while we're here. I heard Resident Evil 2 the remake, Metro Exodus, which I'd love to get my hands on, Hitman 2, Destiny 2, I would hope Anthem would give us a pretty good deal, considering they suck, because I actually haven't tried it. I've just heard a lot of bad things. I was super excited to try the game, and then, obviously, every review was just like, burn it, so I didn't. So
oh,
I think
no.
I'd like to pick it up for like $10 to give it a try.
Do you think it would show
right
up?
Right now it's going out for, I don't... Honestly, right now it's still being sold for like $60.
Which is ridiculous.
So, I know, it is ridiculous. So I don't know if they'll cut it that much. But we'll see. My top five games I really hope to see are Assassin's Creed Odyssey for more than just 50%, because it does go and sell a lot on Steam, but it's always just 50%, and I don't have the money for that right now, but I really want to play it. So if you're out there... 90%, please. Untitled
You're never
going to
get Assassin's Creed Odyssey for 90%.
No, 100% not, but let me hope.
Yeah.
An Untitled Goose Game, if we're lucky. Even if it's just 50%, I'd get it for 50% off. But I just hope.
On Steam, you're talking about only, right? Because Nintendo stuff really doesn't go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, continue.
Witcher 3, I wouldn't be surprised if it went... You know, if we got a good deal on that, especially with it coming out on Nintendo now.
Yeah, that's something on my backlog. I do want to pick that up this holiday season.
I think I have it for Xbox. I don't think I've finished it, though. It's one of the games where I keep picking up, but I haven't been able to finish it all the way through.
Well, if we both end up picking it up on sale during the holiday season, maybe we could both go play through it, and then we could do, like, a spoiler cast on it.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Yakuza game. I've never played one of those games.
Me neither.
One of my friends, Brianna, you know Brianna, she loves that game. So I really want to try it just for her, so I can be like, all right, I know what you're talking about now. Let's talk. so yeah, I'd hope one of those would get a good deal on. And have you ever heard of Journey?
It
came
sounds
on PlayStation
familiar.
First, and then it was released on for Windows. And it's just a game where you're wandering around and you have to find another player to help you get to the new level, but you can't talk. You just have to kind of, I guess, mime what you want to do. There was a way, like there's an hour or something, but you can't talk to them.
How interesting.
So I think that's really, it seems like a really interesting game. It got really good reviews, so I really want to try that. Right now I think it's for $20, which I think is a bit too much for an indie game like that where there's not much story. So I'd hope maybe I could get it for 5 or 10. I'd be happy with.
Okay.
So what about you? What's your top 5?
Wishing for
or whatever
sale?
Whatever you can think of. Yeah.
I definitely would love, like you said, Resident Evil 2 remake on there, because as you know, I'm replaying most of the games. So the RE2 remake is on the list for me to play. I just I'm playing other games before that. Trying to think off the top of my head. I would really like... Huh. See, Sophia, this would have been something for you to tell me to write down before the game.
I wasn't going to ask you that. I thought, you know what? I want to hear what... Just give us, you know, like a couple more.
Oh, I know. I would love Astral Chain to go on sale, even though it's a Switch game, and those games rarely go on sale. That's on my backlog.
It sucks, because I feel like Steam has such a good sale. That sucks. Yeah. Nintendo can't offer the same.
And then one game that's been on real far on my backlog would probably be, like... What is it? Probably, like, one of the Mana games, because, like, all these Mana games are being re-released, and I haven't played them. So if any of those go on sale, I might pick them up. But yeah, that's all I could really think off the top of my head at the moment, because most of the AAA games that come out, I usually pick up when they get released, even though I shouldn't. I should wait them out.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer of... Wait till they go on sale, don't pre-order, don't buy them when they first come out, because you don't know you're kidding. And
I'm the
opposite.
I'm the guy standing in line at midnight.
You are, because they own you. They own your soul.
Yeah, that's for sure. Wait, so basically, let's move on. Let's talk about what we've been playing. And, yeah, let's take a short break.
Yeah.
And let's get into it, okay? And we're back. Hey, Sophia.
Hi.
So we're going to talk about what we've been playing, right?
Yeah.
Do you want
to
start us off?
That's what I've been led to believe. I don't know if
you
secretly trapped me here for some other reason, but...
Actually, I lied. I don't want to talk about anything. Goodbye.
Oh, we're done. Yeah.
No, I'm just
kidding. Cut the podcast.
All right, you go.
I don't want to work with you anymore.
Yeah. So you go first. You talk to us about what you're playing. I'm not really that interesting this week.
So you remember how I mentioned Bird Gut for free last week?
Yes.
So I didn't get a chance to play Butterfly Soup, but I have been playing Bird Gut, and I am really surprised it's free, because it is some quality content.
Yeah.
It's fun to play, but it's not too difficult. I'm stuck on one little bit, but I think it's the first time I've really been stuck, and I've been playing it for a good hour or two. And it's, yeah, it's really quick. It's quick to pick up. It's got a good story. It's simple. It's really good. I 100% recommend it. Bird Gut for free on Steam.
What's the gameplay style?
It's like, oh my gosh, I can't remember what it's called. What is the word for it? Where it's like, you're just like, it's 2D and you're just jumping on top of things.
A platformer?
Yes, there we go. That's the one. That was like starts with a P. Yeah.
Alright. That's good. Awesome. So you're still playing, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm still playing it. I've been doing loads of work, so I haven't had the chance to, like, you know, play a lot this week. But that one's been good. I 100% recommend it if you can get it. Bird Gut.
Oh. Yeah, so maybe what you can give us a little... easy review before when you finish it.
Yeah, I'll definitely circle back to it at some point, I think.
Cool. So I've been playing nothing too crazy. I am replaying Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, because I played Eevee and I finished that one, and then I started playing Let's Go Pikachu and then kind of fell off of it. But now that the new Pikachu game is coming out, the new Pokemon game is coming out, I figured I'd go back to Pikachu. And then, yeah, and then I'm still playing Resident Evil, I'm still playing Link's Awakening, but again, between work and all of that, it's just a lot going on. So the moment I finish one of those games, I will definitely try to give like an honest review of how they play.
I see you're going for the classics this week.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to, like, get all my bases. Like, it's Halloween, so I'm really trying to play some Resident Evil stuff. It's not currently Halloween, but it's the season. And then
'tis the spooky season.
Yes, and then Pokemon, the new Pokemon Sword and Shield games come out in the middle of next month, so I don't have much time to play those. Well, I don't have much time to play Let's Go Pikachu before that comes out. So, you know, I'm just trying to cover all my bases. And then just Link's Awakening, I do love The Legend of Zelda. And I have, like, this weird thing where I never... Well, not never, but a lot of the games I don't finish, so I'm determined to finish this one. Don't know why, but, you know, that's it. Oh, right? Also, I failed to tell you, I reached out to our friends over that are making After Party, and I haven't gotten a response yet, but I'm going to do a follow-up to see if we can probably get some type of code for it.
That sounds amazing if they get back to us. They're probably very busy though getting their game ready.
yeah, I'm sure. That's why I'm not expecting too much out of it. But yeah, so anyway, do you have anything else you want to talk about or say, Sophia?
No, I think we covered all the news that I know of.
Okay, so well,
all the exciting stuff taking place.
Awesome. Well, anyway, before we sign out, I just wanted to bring up that we just created a Facebook page for anybody who wants to join and talk about video games with us. It's called The Pixels Podcast. Just look it up on your Facebook search part and show up. The admins are me and Sophia, so that's how you know it's correct, and it has the same thumbnail as the podcast itself. We are going to be creating a Twitter page shortly, but we'll tell you when that's live. And I'm trying to think if there's any other important information to share, Sophia.
I think we've got it all. Facebook page. You can find me on Instagram at rosie.pages if you want to connect.
And you can find me at ipoddo20. That is ipoddo20 on Instagram as well. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the Pixels Podcast. We really do appreciate it. Have a wonderful day, guys. Make sure you keep on playing games and let us know on any of those social media sites what you're playing. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.